Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Red Men Radio, episode number 68, the season preview podcast. I am joined for the first time in what seems like an age by one Paul Machin.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Yeah, good to be back. I think my body's back, my brain's not quite yet. So if anyone's watching the video version of this and they see me glaze over, don't presume it's your chat. It's just jet lag.
No one would possibly have presumed that anyway, Paul.
Well, now.
So we've got a great kickoff question. Sucks to the show, as it always is. Kickoff question, news in brief, one big topic, which will be the season preview, and then we're going to answer questions. Chris Nell on Facebook. What's the largest animal you could kick over a crossbar? Now, he has cited, obviously, we don't condone cruelty to animals. This is purely a fantasy question.
Can I just ask if this was like... You know what? No, I'm not going to go there.
No, don't ask it. Answer it.
Okay. I want to know...
The distance.
Yeah, I'd like to know the distance.
Okay.
If this was like an American football-style field goal situation...
It is.
Then a sparrow.
A sparrow.
Maybe, like, you know what I mean? Given that I watched Giornata Risa being capable of kicking a football over it from the proper distance, which is designed to be kicked over that distance... Yeah, maybe like a...
18-yard box.
Edge of the 18-yard box?
Not the D, the edge of the actual...
Okay, so from the edge of the 18-yard box, maybe like a corgi.
Okay.
I wouldn't want a too small a cat, you know, because they're quite light,
aren't they? Quite fat cats,
I'm not sure they get the distance, like, you know, it's not about the size, it's about the weight, I think. Well, I'm basically just not a very big animal.
Okay. I've answered the question with a fawn or a lamb. I'm thinking something like that. So a baby deer or a baby sheep.
You genuinely think you could kick a lamb over the crossbar?
Absolutely.
Right.
And I'm dying. If it wasn't cruelty to animals, I would absolutely have a go. But there are... So what I'm thinking is, I don't want something that's on the floor. First and foremost, so
you need to get under it.
Exactly. You know me, Paul. If I'm going in on something, I'm going in.
Yeah,
I've worked out what I think.
I don't think you're kicking here. I think you're flicking.
I'm booting. I am scooping. Booting right on where the rib cage would be on a human bending over.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking for. So I'm looking for something like, as I say, a baby animal. I think is probably a good shout. Like, you don't want, you know, like when you fill out. When you're like in your mid-20s or something like that, you don't want something that's filled out, do you? You just want something that's a little bit lightweight, maybe not great on its feet like a baby deer. Bambi. Let's just go with Bambi.
Let's kick Bambi over the bar is what you're suggesting.
And I think I can get a decent height on a Bambi. Or a lamb. What? I do. Like, I'd shave the lamb first, obviously. You're not going to kick it with all its fair. That's just added weight. You got to take its weight down a little bit. You know what I mean?
Aerodynamism.
Exactly. I think I'm kicking it side on as well. I think this has been sparked by... What's that film? You're My Boy Blue, where the dog is it kicked over the side of a bridge.
Oh, Anchorman.
Is it Anchorman it's in? Is it? Okay, well, maybe it's that. I think it was sparked by something like that, this question.
Is it Anchorman with Jack Black has got the dog?
Yeah, maybe it is. If it's Anchorman, yeah, absolutely. I think that's where this question's come from in Chris Nell's mind. He's watched Anchorman recently.
It's more like Chris Kennell.
Absolutely.
I see, here's the thing. This... If you swap, can we just say, if we swapped animals for anything else in this, whether we condone it or not, that's not Chris. That's not cool, man. Not you, Chris. Chris Kinnell. This is not cool. This is very not cool.
See, I'm thinking, if you kick a sparrow, what if it takes off into flight mid? What if it finds its feathers, so to speak, mid flight, and then just doesn't go over the crossbar?
What if that helps it go over the crossbar?
That's a good point. I don't think you can get under the sparrow very easily. Anyway, this is just ridiculous.
I'd be towing it anyway.
Obviously, you tow anything over a 7-yard pass. News in brief: Ben Woodburn is looking to go out on loan to Sheffield United. I've not spoken to you about this, Paul, actually. You know, me and Tom have discussed it on the Transfer Laters podcast earlier on in the week. We discussed it on the news show on YouTube yesterday. Is this a good move for Ben?
My initial reaction was no. But this is to do... I'll be honest, I don't really know where Sheffield United are at. Like, I was not actively following my head, more than a passing interest, because I used to live down the road from Bramall Lane. For a while, like, so I always used to keep an eye on Sheffield. I had a lot of friends who support the Blades and Sheffield Wednesday too, to be fair. I have in my head what Sheffield United are, and it's just Neil Warnock, Sheffield United side. So my immediate reaction is to recoil in horror at Ben Woodburn going there. But you had a chat with James Alcott, didn't you, from Ball Street, who's a QPR fan and therefore far more knowledgeable about the Championship than we will ever be. And he's a lazy fan.
Mate, like, there's fans of clubs from the bottom six down who keep an eye on the Championship just in case. It's the top six that don't, yeah, isn't it? And fans of us. Yeah, listen, I forget the manager's name, so apologies. I should know this, but I don't because I'm a Premier League fan. He was saying that they play good, aggressive style football. They do like to win the ball back high up the pitch, counter-press, that type of stuff. So he thought that it would be a good move for Ben Woodburn, actually. Mm-hmm. I'm taking that knowledge from him. You know, it's not my own, obviously. He thinks it would be a good move. I respect his opinion on football, so I'm sort of leaning towards that. I like the idea of him going to Aston Villa, even though Steve Bruce was the manager there. I thought to myself, you know, all right, it's been in a little bit of turmoil over the last few years, Aston Villa, but as far as playing for a Championship club, that's a big club that you're going to get a bit of spotlight on. Yeah. I thought I could understand why maybe you'd go there. Now, it looks like Jurgen Klopp's had final say on his destination, and it was between these two clubs, and he's picked Sheffield United, and that's kind of good enough for me as well. There's a reason he's picked Sheffield United over Aston Villa.
I mean, yeah, I mean, distance-wise, you know, you're talking... It's kind of, you know, much for muchness, isn't it? You know what I mean, really? I like the idea of him keeping them not too far away so you can keep an eye on them. But yeah, there's a degree to which what type of footy. I think we looked at the Ovi Ejaria loan from last season and be like, it's telling that he's gone to Rangers. You know, rather than, you know, whether that was a favour to Steven Gerrard, which seems mad to, you know, play with the fortunes of a promising young footballer just as a favour to someone, like, but you know, send them to a team that was good, that was getting relegated effectively. I don't think that really helped him as a style of player. And Woodburn too, he's exactly the kind of lad who would get jettisoned, I think, in those situations, unless he stepped up and was a true leader. And you know, we'll get a good test of his character, I think, regardless of where he goes in the Championship. But if you're gonna get a club, it's gonna be like we've said this. Who else has gone to the Championship? Paddy Wilson, you know, you talk about you want them going to a club that's going to be there or thereabouts in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So at least they get a sense of they're going to play some good football. The pressure's not going to be on them to desperately get results because the results will naturally come to some extent. So look, if that's the case of Sheffield United, they're playing decent footy and they're going to be around the business end of the Championship, then fine.
And that's it. And I think one of the reasons that maybe Villa was not thought of, or why he's not gone to Villa, sorry, is that Jack Grealish hasn't moved on yet, so there's no guarantee of game time and minutes and stuff. And maybe if Grealish had gone out, yeah. I think Tottenham are rumoured to be after him, aren't they? If he'd have gone out, Liverpool would have felt much more comfortable with him going there, yeah, and taking that sort of slot in.
Yeah,
and
to be fair, Villa are just up shit creek at the minute. You know, in terms of the finances, the clubs just completely up in the air. Randomly chatting to Aston Villa fans, there was two right by me in the ground at the weekend. I was chatting to one of them quite a bit about it, like, and it's not, that club's not right, you know. So you could find is someone chucks the baby out with the bathwater a month into the season there, and
Well, like the Thierry Henry, you know, if Thierry Henry's in charge there, then maybe you're turning around and you're saying, well, look, you get to come and learn off Thierry Henry for a year, similarly with the Wilsons, the Hunter, Frank Lampard, because you can only look how good Curtis Jones has become for a year under Steven Gerrard. So, there's definitely a value in that. But all of a sudden, you're looking at Villa, they've kept with Steve Bruce. But for how long? The manager changes. He does. Every happens at Rieke Wolfsburg, and the manager changed, and he's got to fight his way back into plans. And new managers are not going to put their reputation or managers in trouble on lads that they don't know or can't trust. Maybe.
Okay, so some more news in brief. Origi, Watford's still after Origi, but they want it on a loan deal. Liverpool obviously won £27 million for Divock. Watford looking to not spend any of that Richarlison money and bring him in on loan.
Someone's going to take Divock Origi, I think.
Goals cost money. Yeah. And he will bring goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Kiriveya to Rosenberg, that one looks like it's all but done now. 2.4 million rising to 3.5. I think, you know, again, we've chatted on this. We won't talk too much about it, Paul, but, you know, my feelings on Kiriveya to Rosenberg is that Kiriveya, it was very much a Brendan Rodgers style footballer, and unfortunately the team has moved on quite significantly since he was brought into the club.
Yeah, he's fine, isn't he? He's a good footballer. I think he's half a yard too slow and half a foot too small to be what we need him to be, really. Very tidy, committed lad, you know, good passing range and what have you. That he's going to Rosenborg tells you everything you need to know about his level. But it is interesting that there was talk that we're going to put a look for a buyback clause in that regard.
Well, a different buyback for every year. So in the first 3 years, there'll be a different fee set, we believe. And final little piece of news, because everybody's been talking about it. Christian Pulisic. Now, I've spoken at length about Pulisic to Chelsea and what I think Liverpool should potentially do with that. But I've obviously not heard your opinions on it. Now, if Pulisic is available, rumoured to be around £65 million, do you think Liverpool should be a little bit opportunistic in this sense?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Whether we will, I'm not sure. I wonder. I do feel as though we're going to have to move a couple of lads on at this point, because we have spent quite a lot. Personally, it's a no-brainer for me, because we know that Klopp likes him. We know that he likes Klopp. Interesting that we've got an interview coming up soon. I had an interview with the American soccer journalist Grant Wall, who actually knows Pulisic, interviewed him for his book, and talked about that. He does really like Jürgen, so that could be a swaying factor in this regard. Mm-hmm. It's just whether for a 19-year-old lad, I think there's one thing when you go out and you're spending that kind of money on a proven talent. I don't think Liverpool would be in the market for a 19-year-old at that kind of price, unfortunately. But maybe a little bit of sentimentality, you know, something you raised a while back, probably a year ago, about the American thing makes a big difference. You know, we spend a lot of money and a lot of effort in trying to take over the American market, as it were, from a business sense. And if we could get Pulisic, then that would be a big step towards doing that. And let's be honest, it would just get everyone jizzing in there collectively.
Now, this is an exciting footballer who's got a huge career ahead of him. I also feel like this one is one of those where not only are you strengthening Liverpool if you do commit, but you're actually also weakening our rivals. And I think I said yesterday that, you know, if Pulisic goes to Chelsea, that for me means he's never coming to Liverpool.
Maybe.
Give or take, you know, unless he has a stinker, moves to Roma, and then we buy him on the
cheap. Exactly. But that's where, in that regard, if he was going to Man United or whatever, I agree with that sentiment. But the fact is, he's not ready. He's not ready to be a main man for the football club yet. You know, and it was just something that Grant said, and we were talking about him being the future of America. He's like, he's just not done it. He's not proven. There's no, you can't sit here and go, this is going to be the guy leading them on the charge to the next World Cup, because he's 19. So much happens in your career.
Ask Freddie Adu.
Well, exactly. My words, exactly. But, you know, you can, there's so much development for him to do. Dortmund have put that price on him, if that's the case, to scare people off, and also because that is a ludicrous price for a 19-year-old who he's not, you know, you're not talking about the next Messi here. He's a very, very good player. He might go on to have an incredible career, but, you know, at the minute, he's just a very, very talented 19-year-old. There's loads of very, very talented 19-year-olds, and that's, I think a lot of people are getting carried away with it because he's a talent and he's American, and people know his name and what have you, but that, yeah, I... you know, he could just a bad season, and that could, you know, you could find him plateauing for a few years, and all of a sudden it's not quite
okay. Well, let's move on to the bulk of the show then. I've got it down here as what's a good season for Liverpool, and the reason I've kind of phrased it like that rather than season preview is we put a Facebook post out every week asking for questions from people, and the question that came up more than anything else is
what do we do about Karius?
It's now changed to what do we do about Karius and Mignolet. That question that's moved on since you've been to America interviewing
Fakir.
People like
something about Fakir.
We've had a lot of them as well. I would set up a ban list of words, and Fakir would definitely be there. Yeah. I don't know how to do that on Facebook, unfortunately. So I think everybody wants to know what constitutes a good season for Liverpool. So listen, Paul, the transfer window's nearly shut. Are you happy with the business that we've done?
Ecstatic. Absolutely over the moon.
Is that from just the Liverpool sense, or are you looking around the league as well and looking at what everybody's doing and saying, actually, I thought it was good from a Liverpool sense, but now I look around, you know, you lift your head up and everyone else is still on the start line almost.
I haven't factored anyone else's business in at all. I'm just very, very happy with the business that Liverpool have done. But in doing that, and you contextualise it, we've had the best transfer window of anyone.
On paper.
So far. Exactly. You know what I mean? I did a video on this last year. You can't win the transfer window, there's no such thing. It's a made up bollocks phrase just to drive clicks. But
we've won the transfer window.
But you know what Liverpool have done? It's an irrelevant to some extent. Look at the state of Tottenham Hotspur. Mm. You know all their best players don't come back to training until next week, and
I won't do that anymore.
And they're being linked with Jack Grealish, who's shit.
I might have just linked him. That might not be true.
No, it's definitely true. I think Ball Street linked him, to be fair. But you know, this is yeah, we've done the business. We've got the bulk of it done early. You know, what was really interesting is, let's use Jadon Shaqiri as an example of this. There's our weakest piece of transfer business, and he's effectively, you know, we saw him play more as like a central role, didn't we, at the weekend? But so it was exciting to see him play that. He was doing that in training as well, which was really good. And he was playing some wonderful like slide through balls. But you know, he can also cover on the right hand side. He could probably cover on the left hand side, etc. And he's just gone and scored an overhead kick. And he's been in training with them. Now it probably wouldn't have been picked up in the coverage. He is the least versed. Oh, Alisson's still got to come in, of course. So I'll caveat with that. But he's still not integrated in our squad yet. And so, like, in the warm-ups for the United game, you know, when they, like, they lay him from the left, they lay him from the right.
I was going to say, please, I thought you were going to say he didn't have a partner.
He had no idea where the passes were coming from in that shooting warm-up. Okay. He was just, like, panicking and turning around and waiting.
Fucking dodgeball.
It was mad. I was like, no one's told him what to do. He's got no clue of where the ball's coming from. It was hilarious. He was like a little yappy dog chasing his tail. But like, this is the point, is that, you know, as you say, with the other clubs doing their business, this is a lad who's not played a game for us. Most of these other clubs haven't even, they've barely begun, and there's like, what, there's going to be about eight, nine days probably left of the transfer window.
I'm the same as you. I think Liverpool have just, the way in which we've acted in this transfer window has been better than any other as well. I think there's definitely been a push to bring in players in before we have to sell. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important point to make as well. I think, you know, people probably think there's a lot of money left. We have no idea whether the Fakir money was spent on Alisson or not, for example. But I don't feel like, no matter how much we make back from selling players, that we're going to go into the market now. Mm-hmm. I think Jürgen's done, and he said this a couple of weeks ago. I think he's happy with his squad. I think, you know, the gaps in the squad that we as fans look at are probably maybe centre-back. I think, and then there's a question mark over a forward, but there's always a question mark over a forward.
People say there are gaps there, but those gaps only exist if you don't believe in the players that we've already got at the club. And I think Jürgen does. Yeah. I think that's the big difference. And I had it mentioned, it kind of comes up to some extent in a question we're going to add. I don't know if it's one of the subscriber-exclusive questions later, but look at Curtis Jones as a good example of this. I think he's emerged this summer such that I've been going on about, we need to go and get an 18, 19-year-old lad who is the next up-and-coming. And I don't think Curtis Jones's future lies at left wing, but he's got pace and he's got control. And if you can get him some game time this season in that position, if you have to, I'd feel comfortable seeing it. Or in a 4-2-3-1, because we have seen him play left side in that in pre-season. We've got, beneath the first team, I think we've got to find game time. We've got young players there that we can find game time for effectively. So as much as you could say the centre half thing, mm-hmm. we own five centre halves.
Yeah, but you need two for every position. That's what we keep saying. Mm-hmm. You need four for two. You need six for three in centre midfield, and you need six for three up top. Now, there's the question mark, but the players and the quality of play that we're looking for, especially, you know, talking about the front three now, they're not a quick fix. I think we've been lucky with the Shaqiri deal. We've got a quality player for well under his market value, mm-hmm. who has the desire to perform at Liverpool, yeah. in any type of a role, whether that's a squad role or a first team role. I don't think we know yet whether he's going to be a first teamer or not. Mm-hmm. I think his performances in training behind closed doors and what Jurgen Klopp sees of him will dictate where Shaqiri plays, because yeah. everybody thought he was just a backup to Salah and Mane, mm-hmm. and the first time we see him is playing essentially in a number 10 role.
Isn't it mad how we could be back in this situation again that we were last summer, where we thought Salah was Mane's understudy, and instead we played both? We could find ourselves quite easily in a situation where we're midway through the season again, and Shaqiri, Salah, Firmino and Mane is our front four, and that's our best front four, and we're going, we need an understudy for Shaqiri here, because what are we meant to do? And that's a distinct possibility, that rather than maybe we haven't been buying squad depth, maybe we have been secretly improving our
first team. This is the thing that does my head in, yet it's also the thing that I absolutely love about pre-season, is that it's that not knowing. It's that how many times have we sat here and sort of alluded to what we think might happen? You don't know until the first game of the season.
And then Gini Wijnaldum starts as a box-to-box midfielder.
Yeah, exactly. that's exactly the point though, isn't it? And then, you know, Sadio Mane is a right winger for us. He's the best player at the club. All of a sudden he's the third best player of the club and he's a left winger. I mean, this happens, yeah. 10 games into the season we could look back at the videos that we've done in this pre-season and go, wrong, lucky fucking guess.
Simple. Yeah, no, it's true.
That's the beauty of we haven't seen us at our full power yet. I think we're still working on, we spent this pre-season working on plan B's, and it was an interesting point you alluded to it slightly earlier, but one of the things that, from speaking to Jurgen, he kind of hinted at was that when we play at our best, we win games, we just win. But when we're not at our best, we need to get better at winning games. And I wonder, and you know, something we were speculating on a few weeks ago when the preseason was started, that's why Sturridge seems like he's got another role. That's why we are taking our time. We're not binning off players. We're not, because look, Origi would just get sold in any normal summer, because he wasn't good enough last season. How's he going to be good enough this season? Jurgen has kept everyone around as long as possible. And you know, it's telling that Kiraveya's deal's only going through since we got back from the States. Now over in France doing the proper training. And we've got the game in Dublin coming up against Napoli, and the Torino game. It wouldn't shock me if Liverpool's business out is going to get done. Mm-hmm. It won't get done until they come back from this French training camp, effectively, because that's the final chance you've got
that Ben Woodburn didn't join up with the other players in France, because they knew he was moving on. Jurgen's obviously decided, right, he's not going to get first team minutes this season. He's not going to get enough first team minutes this season. Let's go and develop his career. That's why he's been looking to move on. Kiraveya, he's made his decision on. Origi's there. Origi's still got a fighting chance. Origi's 7 goals, Trump Solanke and Ings is 2 goals last season. And that's what we're coming down to now. It's fine margins of success. We're not in a position where, if we truly want to take a tilt at this title, we can go in with strikers who aren't going to score us enough goals. Origi might not fit the playing style, but he does score goals.
Yeah, exactly. It was interesting. Did you see the Daniel Sturridge interview? I can't remember who it was with, but he said everything that we'd speculated. That he said he'd gone to West Brom and he'd seen how his future was laid out in front of him, and he's come back going, I don't want that. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in getting relegated to the Championship. I want to play for a club that's going to be at the top. And I think that's it. I think we've got. Everyone's there and everyone's competitive, and that's the atmosphere that he's cultivated with this. And you know, because he did his press conference prior to Man United, and he wouldn't be drawn on players moving out because, and I said in the reaction video, what's the point? What's the point of stirring up speculation? He needs everyone's heads in the game here, because you've got a guy in the books, you've got to carry him, and if you're carrying players, then they're having a detrimental impact on what you're doing effectively. So you know, I think we're going to surprise. I think what our Premier League squad looks like will probably surprise one or two come the start of the season, because again, it's already surprised me. You know, there's so many things that have happened that I would never have guessed in a million years. But as you said before, this happens every summer. We go into a summer with an idea of what's going to happen, and we start the season doing something completely different.
Yeah. Okay. Again, this is the question that everybody is on everybody's lips or keyboards. Does Jurgen Klopp and this Liverpool team, Paul Machin, need to win a trophy this year?
Look, I get what people mean by that, but so the simple answer is yes.
Can I have this camera, please, Louis?
Yes, because Liverpool Football Club exists to win trophies. However, if you're telling me that an FA Cup win comes at the expense of finishing in the top four, I'm sorry, I know it's sad. People will go, it's not important. You know what I mean? I wouldn't sacrifice what we were doing for a domestic cup. It's nice. It's a nice day out, and it's a nice little pot. But Arsenal went chasing those pots to try and save the manager because they needed a trophy. What Liverpool need to do is to be competitive at the top end of the Premier League whilst maintaining competitiveness that we've shown in the Champions League. That's all Liverpool need to do this season. If we manage to deliver silverware along the way, then that is absolutely incredible. But look, the fact of the matter is, we're in an unfortunate position now where we've gone too long without a piece of silverware, mm-hmm. but we've gone even longer without the league. Our Liverpool era, your and mine, is Liverpool the cup side. And that's just Liverpool basically just keeping things ticking over because of this notion of Liverpool needing to win trophies, etc., etc. And I'll level with you. And then maybe there's a younger generation who watch and listen who are like, they would love to see us win a cup. And look, it's brilliant. That treble season was phenomenal. That was, you know, what a great memory. We were 17. That was just a great season. But it didn't sate us. It didn't make us feel any really, really better. Apart from that treble, because it was an achievement in and of itself. But we've won FA Cups and League Cups. You know, so many of them since we've been growing up, but it doesn't make us feel better about Liverpool. You know, Liverpool have got to. I would much rather see Liverpool go all in for the league and get pipped at the finish line and finish second, or take it down to the last. You know, if we take it down to the last game or the last two games.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Then the rest of it's just, it can do what
I think
it, what
I'm,
it does.
I'm very similar in what I hope for from this season, but I can sum what I want in one word: improvement. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is for me, you know. And that means all of the things that you've spent the last 2 minutes explaining. It's getting closer to these trophies, it's bridging that gap to Manchester City. I think we've already seen improvement this season, mm-hmm. not in a footballing sense, but in an off the field sense. And I think we've seen that for the last 2 years now. Yeah. I think we've seen a willingness to dip into the market and spend the money that we need to spend, mm-hmm. to give us that competitive edge, to put us on a level playing field with the likes of Manchester City, Manchester United, and the Chelsea of this world. Let's not forget here that we've had 1 year of a huge amount of investment. We're playing catch up still, yeah. right now.
Yeah.
Manchester United have had this level of investment for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Chelsea, exactly the same. Manchester City, when were they first win the league? 2012, something like that, was it?
Okay.
Was it 2012, something like that? They've had huge sums of investment for a large period of time. Yes, Liverpool have spent a lot of money. Yes, we've got a good squad. Yes, we haven't won a cup yet of note under Jurgen Klopp, or anything under Jurgen Klopp apart from, was it the Asian Cup or something like that? I forget, whatever it was. It's completely irrelevant. What Liverpool need to do is keep bridging that gap in a financial sense, in a footballing sense, because we've got the best fans in the world. Mm-hmm. We've already proved last season that we've got the hardest place to come to. We're a great side in European football. We can play great football in the Premier League. Now it's about capitalising on that, yeah. and hoping, quite honestly, for a few slip-ups from a few other teams.
Well, it's all part and parcel of it. That was the thing... It was a point I actually made. As I made to Jurgen, I said, look, this is the problem that people don't get around when they say, you've got to win a trophy, you've got to win the league. It's just the basic fundamentals of football are, if Manchester City win every single league game, it's not going to happen, but if Man City did, if they won 38 league games, they would win the league, and there'd be nothing Liverpool could do about it, because Liverpool would at the very most finish 6 points short of them, because that's the way it is. So there are always things, and again, you can get to finals, you can lose a final because you can have a dodgy decision go against you, and someone can stick one in the top bin, and you're out. You've lost it. It's as simple as. But the point is you've just got to get yourself in those positions, and it's like XG. Effectively, in a much wider situation, you just increase the quality of chances that you're taking. You know what I mean? You get your all round play right, and you put yourself in the strongest touching distance of silverware, and then maybe you need a little bit of slice of luck. But you know, effectively, that's what Liverpool need to get into the habit of doing. And
why are people obsessed with Liverpool needing to win a trophy this season? What is that? Do you think it's Liverpool fans, no.
Liverpool fans. I think off the back of it, because I don't think you can disagree with the rhetoric. When Liverpool exists to win trophies. Liverpool have spent big money, so they should be in contention for it. No, we've all done it. We've all said it because we all like to make Mourinho and Man United fans feel awkward about themselves. That Man United should be far more competitive. We say it, but we say it with a little bit of a poke, just to see if you can get a reaction. But Liverpool are now in that circumstance, so it's not wrong for people to demand that. But the problem is, it's just words. What we're really saying, and what everyone's really saying, or at least should be saying about that, is not that you demand the title. It's that you demand the title challenge, because factors can end up beyond your control in that regard. But what is within your control is, over the 38 games, you should be able, with that squad, to make a very, very good fist of
cool.
it.
Okay. Tell you what, you managed to get a few interviews with a few players from the mix zone that we've not released yet. Paul, we're going to play a little bit of a clip of that now. Tell us a little bit about it before we do.
Yeah, so I got to speak in brief to Jadon Shaqiri, Joe Gomez, Shea Ojo, Andy Robertson. We have got those interviews on the redmentv.com. Here's a little taster.
It's been a mad few days here, hasn't it? I think an open training yesterday, getting mobbed by the fans. I mean, with the greatest of respect to the volume of Hull City fans, there's nothing quite like the Liverpool supporters.
Yeah, no, it's completely different. You know, American supporters are a lot different to the British ones as well. And, you know, it's been a good experience for all the lads. It's, you know, what a fantastic turnout tonight. And like you said, the open training session and stuff was good yesterday. So, you know, it's been a great experience for all of us. And it's something that, you know, will especially help the young lads playing in front of big crowds and stuff like that and get them used to it. But, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back to the, you know, back to the Liverpool fans back home.
So is the reason that there's no video for this, is it just that you tower over all of them?
Jadon Shaqiri was a very awkward interview, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, that's why we only put the Virgil van Dijk one out from the other week. mainly just to show that I'm almost as tall as Virgil. We had a couple of technical issues in that regard. So there is the full audio's out for subscribers, and there's a pseudo video version as well. But yeah, you know, it's just interesting insight, particularly the Shaqiri stuff, because he clearly believes that he's at the right club and he's at the right level, and you can tell that. And he's, you know, he scored the overhead kick at the weekend. You can tell in the celebration. He believes he's right to be at Liverpool, and I love that. I love that attitude. And also, there's a bit from Andy Robertson where he's clearly not looking forward to going to France for the training camp, because Jürgen is going to ruin all of them. Yeah. He's going to absolutely physically destroy them all, and none of them are looking forward to that. But they're all weirdly looking forward to it in the same regard, because I think he's got like a Stockholm syndrome thing going on with them.
Nice.
Where he just basically pummels at them, and they love him for it, which is
awesome.
Great.
Asher Wells, and we'll get into some of the questions. This is from the website, actually. If you had to escape a prison as a five, who would the other four members of the team be out of the Liverpool squad, all players included, and why?
Okay, so I went for Virgil van Dijk because I need like an enforcer.
Yeah,
I want a big physical presence. They're kind of like my Groot, as it were. You know, if you want to get stuck in. I went for Alberto Moreno because I think you want a tunnel digger.
Yeah,
and you want somebody who can fit through small gaps. For example, I went for Andy Robertson because you always need to have a Scot in any sort of prison.
Absolutely.
Breaks out kind of situation. And I went for Moses. What I wanted, I'll be honest, I wanted like a. Normally it would have been like an Emre Can or a Jamie Redknapp or whatever from years gone by. You need a face late team style. You know, you need a face man. You need someone who's all and it's the all smiles thing. He's got a wonderful winning smile. So if you need him to flirt with some guards to get you out, but also he's fast as well. I reckon I could probably jump on his back and he could probably still be faster than most people. Like so, yeah. I went for Mo Salah to round me four.
So I've gone with Keita. Is your version of the Moreno?
Okay,
small, can get through gaps that you want.
He's much also, better. Totally forgot he existed. Yeah.
So exactly that. Virgil van Dijk, the big enforcer, is exactly what you need. Lovren, I see, is the bomb specialist.
Okay.
I don't know why, it's because he's always got his phone out and he's always tinkering with Snapchat and all that type of stuff.
Like, and what off, is he expendable in that regard as well?
We'll come on to something similar to that later on, because there's another question. Salah, because he's fast. And then I'm not sure whether we're going to have a torch or not. So if we have a torch, I'd probably take Henderson, because I feel like... What? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Well, I've picked five. Apologies.
You're going to stay in prison and let the five escape. Is that
if there's no torch, I want Firmino in there to light the room up.
Okay, sad.
Okay, that's
okay.
That.
Okay, wicked.
Simon Smith, Beckingham.
Who wins poshest name of the week award.
Thanks that's the much, second Simon. Time he's won that. My point, watching Keita versus Dortmund and listening to Klopp, I think he may see Keita as Mane's backup, like Shaqiri is for Salah. Then we have others that can fill the void in midfield, like Milner or Wijnaldum. Let me know your thoughts.
So this follows on from what I kind of alluded to earlier about the Curtis Jones stuff. I agree with that. I don't think we'll see it often, but I think if you've got a situation where you need that, Keita did play on the left-hand side for Leipzig a couple of times last season when I watched him, and because he's got the pace and the direct running, he's not the same, because ultimately, you know, you play in midfield for a reason. You don't go forward a row. In Klopp's Liverpool, you tend to go back a row. But I think that's the beauty of a lot of what we've got there, is that versatility. We don't own many specialists. You can the goalkeepers and probably Virgil van Dijk really are the true specialists. We've got everyone else you'd be happy to see playing at a push in a couple of positions maybe. So
I think the Keita thing, I'd be really surprised if we saw him out on the left. Not because I don't think he can do it. I just think it's a bit of a waste of his talents. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see, and this is where it comes down to where Mane plays. I can see him as a Mane backup, but more in that like inside forward role, do you know what I mean? Rather than hugging the touchline type of a thing. I think Mane's come in so often to play that almost number 10 role. Even like the Shaqiri role from the other night, I see Keita in that because his vision, his passing's absolutely superb. Like his through balls, we've seen it with Sturridge all pre-season long. I expect that we'll see Keita a lot further up the field than we probably thought when we originally bought him.
Yeah, I think the way the question for it makes it sound as though Keita won't play. You know what I mean? Like he'll be on the bench and come on for Mane, which I don't think is the case. But I think the notion that if we're heavily rotating, you know, if we have an injury crisis, like I say, we've already seen. I think you can see a couple of players that we've got might play in positions that we're not. I mean, again, would you put James Milner on the left wing, or you can trust James Milner to do a job in the midfield? You'd rather see Keita playing with his pace. He would probably be slightly better suited to the front three. But that, again, it's another one of those surprising. I wouldn't shock me to see a couple of those things that we've not even really considered yet be things come the end of the year.
Okay, Asher Wells, how do you think the squad would have evolved, succeeded or failed had Ancelotti taken over almost 3 years ago? And I replied last week on this one, said that's a great question. As one of the minority to actually want Ancelotti, I'd be bang up for answering this next week. And so I think I will. And I think we could have well won silverware. Mm-hmm. By now, I think we might have won an FA Cup or a League Cup or something like that. But I don't envisage that we'd be in as good a place as supporters as we are right now. Because Jürgen Klopp gets us. Jürgen Klopp is the perfect man for this job. Now, Ancelotti might have got more money out of FSG earlier on. Mm-hmm. Because I think that was one of the things that FSG didn't go with him for, is that he wanted 200 million to spend on
a spine.
He came
in and said, this team's not good enough. I want to buy a spine and it's going to cost. Here's how much it's going to cost.
You know, he would have wanted that. And I'm sure Jürgen would have wanted that. But he was willing to work within the constraints and to build it up gradually, which probably suited FSG a little bit more. But would we be in as good a position as we are now? I don't think so. And I think we could have maybe started to get a little bit frustrated, because he's the type of manager that you're not gravitated towards him like you are with Jurgen Klopp. You're almost like, Jurgen's a bit of a deity, isn't he?
People say they like Ancelotti. People like Ancelotti because he's a winner.
Exactly. But that's why I like him.
Exactly. But I don't think anyone could tell me, not many people I think he would tell me what it is about Ancelotti. Is it his personality? Is it his character? Exactly. And so there's a chance, and this is predicated on whether FSG would ever have really taken him on because of the money that he would have demanded to make it happen. But I think we'd have got, you know, I think we've now, this summer, after 3 years of Jurgen Klopp, got the spine. I think we'd have probably had it much quicker. But I think we'd have possibly ended up with a similar situation to what we had with Rafa, where we had the spine, and then we were perennially trying to figure out the bits to bolt on onto the sides of it. So, you know, listen, we might well have made that breakthrough.
I think the other thing is,
won the league, but
I think the other thing that's massively important is the type of signings that Ancelotti would make. Now, he's not a guy who is bringing in young players. I don't think if Ancelotti's here, you've got listen. He's not signed the new contract yet, but Mane will sign a 5-year deal in the next couple of weeks, I'd guess. We will have Mane, Salah and Firmino, our three star players, on 5-year contracts at Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that we'd be anywhere near that type of position. We might have an older squad. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think it will fall apart ultimately with Ancelotti looking back now with hindsight, is everything's got to pull in the same direction.
Yeah.
And Ancelotti doesn't feel like he wasn't the best fit for FSG, even if he was the best fit to be Liverpool manager.
Yeah.
At some point, those relationships would have broken down, and that's why ultimately I think it maybe would have failed.
Yeah, he's just he's one of them, isn't he? He's a journeyman manager, and he's a very good journeyman manager. Be interested to see what he does at Napoli, to be fair, because they're within touching distance of being where they need to be. But is he that X factor to carry them on? Because the thing is, Liverpool were such a distance away from where we needed to be, and we talk about maybe we would have delivered the League Cup or FA Cup. We come bloody close to that regardless, haven't we? You know what I mean? So I can't see that the difference would have been it would have taken a lot for us to get it to be better than we've been in the last 3 years.
Okay, R. Ben Kelly at bkelly 776. Paul, what was the best food you tried in New York?
To be honest, I didn't. I just worked a lot. I had the best thing. It wasn't necessarily the best cooked or the best whatever, but it was going into a diner and just having pancakes and bacon and stuff just slid across the other. There's definitely something very, very American about that. So I fully indulged.
At Hibs 1001, if one of your kids came and said, "Dad, I've decided to support United or the Blue Shite," what would your reaction be? A, no problem, it's your choice. B, I'm not happy, but okay. C, file for adoption. D, other.
Yeah, we did this the other week, didn't we? The trick is just to say you're not happy and kind of step away, I believe, because you don't want to end up with a situation where people do it. There's a lot of people who are fans of football clubs out of spite, and that's why you find families where you've got your brothers together, and you're a good example of it. Support different teams because they support a different team in spite of the brother, or to wind the brother up, etc., etc. To use Brian Reid quote on this, you've just got to step back and say, "I'm not happy about it," and also, "I'm never going to support you in your support of another
football club. You're never getting to a football game.
You're never going to own a shirt, and you're never going to see a football match.
That's the way to do it." Si Banstead, how much of a kid did you feel when interviewing Jurgen Klopp?
I didn't feel like a kid. I actually felt like a proper grown up. You know what I mean? Like it was, that was, because I've had the bit, I felt like a bit of a kid when I called him in the mix zone a few days earlier and whatever, because that was just a proper, like, I was holding the camera and I had the mic and it was like, ah, that felt a bit like, that felt very much like old school Red Men, like we're flying by the seat of our pants, is everything capturing, I don't know if this has worked, etc. But by the time we got to speak to him, we had a proper professional setup, it was well organised and that was like the most, that was for me was the a perfect indication of where we've all come from in the last few years, that this has been 8 years that we've been grafting our arse off, and that's the first time we've caught bits. So we've had a few questions with Brendan Rodgers during other things. We got 5-6 minutes to sit down with Rafa at his missus's event. I've caught Kenny Dalglish on the red carpet at his, but I've caught Gerard Houllier in a mix zone before. But to be able to sit down like grown-ups and have a proper chat, yeah, it was weirdly the exact opposite.
And the other question that everybody's been asking that's not on this agenda, when are you frigging releasing it?
Soon, but not too soon.
when the time is right and fever pitch is reached.
Well, as I say, it's going to be inside a month. If you want to sign up to the website, now's the best time to do it.
I highly recommend. I mean, we say this a lot on the podcast and every bit of content, but do go and sign up to redmentv.com, because the best thing is, if you sign up, you'll get to watch that interview for nothing, because it's part of your 3-month trial, as well as a whole host of other stuff. There's loads of stuff we got from the States and really good interviews. And as I say, the stuff with the players, including Jane Shaqiri in the mix zone, all of that stuff is very, very good. And it's very much on the redmentv.com.
He's right. Listen to him. Go and do it. @_HarryHolmes. LFC Hunger Games. Which player are you pairing up with and why?
Andy Robertson.
Really? Why? Mm-hmm.
Because I just think he's got that. He's got the engine for it. It can be a bit of a slog, because at the end of the day, maybe there are, but look, we've only ever seen how Katniss, is that her name?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've only ever seen her story, really. And if her story, if she paired up with someone else and they killed everyone in the first 5 minutes, maybe that happens in other Hunger Games, in other years. So maybe that's a much better approach to what she's done with it. But again, you want someone who's got the longevity. You want someone with he's small, he's fast, he's not going to need loads of food. He's prepared to take a bullet for you, kind of thing as well. Like, so yeah, I wouldn't mind. You say, Andy, get up that tree and make us a den.
I think he'd do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've gone for a similar player for very similar reasons. I've gone Danny Ings. Just because, you know, the way he skulks around, Paul?
Yeah.
I think he'd be great in the bush.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you never seen him there. He's always ducking around, like, where's this thing? Yeah. I think he's got that tenacity that I want, and it's exactly the same as Andy Robertson.
And
he's expendable.
And he's expendable. Just follow, watch out. But the problem with him is that just takes a slight misstep. Cruciate out for a year, and then you carry in Danny Ings.
Danny's bait, mate.
But the good thing,
but Danny's bait.
Well, yeah,
and
true.
Then I'm still winning.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I just leave him screaming in the middle of the field, watch people flock towards him, and I just start sniping people out. Like,
Saving Private Ryan style. Yeah, set up. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
There you go. Expendable that, partners. It's what you need, Paul.
Joel Matip as a human shield.
No, he's a bit too passive. He'd get out the way.
I'd have to stand sideways behind him and breathing, to be fair, like, but
and a bit more probably.
Yeah,
as well.
But he'd have me.
You might lose him as you're just walking down the street down a grid.
Well, Virgil van Dijk, and I like Tauntaun style, I could cut him open and live inside.
I like that. Virgil van Dijk. That's decent. I like that.
Yeah, on the Ing stuff, you've got the slight dark horse of he always seems to have amazing birds. So maybe you could use. He's clearly possessing of charm. Isn't he? So maybe you could use that to someone, get yourself out of a dangerous situation.
I'm fine for that. Yeah. Okay, Damon Murray. What's Paul going to do to make it up to Chris?
Make what up to you?
A little matter of you interviewing Jürgen Klopp on your own.
You turned it down?
Still. Want something.
Ask your wife.
I might have already had something.
There you go. Chris is fine, ladies and gents.
Okay. Explain how Redmen started, how Paul and Chris met, how you met the rest of the guys, idea for Redmen.
I've done this a bazillion times and it takes ages, so let's do it quickly.
Explain how Redmen started. You've got 5 seconds.
Wanted to make videos about Liverpool.
3. How did Paul and Chris meet?
Met in school.
2. How'd you meet the rest of the guys? 1.
They came to work for us for nothing and we liked them.
Idea for Redmen. 1.
I don't understand what that means.
3. 4. Who came up with the idea for Redmen?
Oh, me, I guess.
And?
Well, a little bit of Aubrey.
Okay. Which 2 current Liverpool players can replace the aging Paul and Chris in Redmen TV, personality wise? Said Jer Kalai.
My immediate reaction was to go like Hendo Lallana, but they're not too much younger than us, so you know, you're not getting longevity out of that. You know, it's all well and good, but this is like buying, you know, they're both heading towards 30, so you know, it would help us in that regard. It'd probably have to be like Trenton Woodburn or
Trenton Curtis.
Yeah,
so, which way around do you see that?
I don't think we're either of them, if I'm perfectly honest.
No, and they're definitely not us either. They're far too cool to be us.
Yeah, probably, you'd probably be the Curtis and I'd probably be the Trent.
Okay, you were going to pick different players.
You're a lot gabbier than I am, so I can. Curtis Jones, by the way, is amazing. I have like it didn't get seen. We had an issue with the mix zone stuff from the United game, But literally, he was walking past. So the first mix zone we did, and he stopped and had a chat, and he was great, and he was dead, like, you know, it's all going to plan. Amazing, by the way. He then got off, and he forgot something, and he came back, and he went, just come back for another one. And then this bit came back, and then the next one, I drank, and went, because he said about getting a goal. I was like, where was your goal? He went, all right, he brought me on it right back. What am I meant to do?
Did you see him telling Camacho, that's my spot? Did you see that from the television cameras?
No.
So as the game's finished, he runs over to Camacho and goes, that's my spot now. I'm going to fucking take that right back spot. Like, I love him. Like, he's fucking brilliant.
He is, boss.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we've been going quite a while now. How long have we been going, Louis? Okay, we'll go one more question then. I'm just going to pick it out now. While I pick a question out, Paul, what was your favourite thing other than the Jürgen Klopp from the US tour?
You know what, there's two, and it was being in the bars before the game, so it was being in Carragher's bar before the Man City game, and being in Conor O'Neill's before the Man United game.
I picked my question now, sorry.
But no, the depth of response from people, like, yeah. You saw it in LA, and I saw it in Boston the time before, but the volume of people who came up to me, and people saying, thanks very much, or whatever, and people saying, like, what a big difference. There's like a young lad, and he just said, I watch everything. He's like, and he's telling me about the videos on retro football that he watches and all that, and I'm like, just, you know, astounding. So yeah, and particularly in Conor O'Neill's in Ann Arbor, like, we got in there at like 5 or 6 hours before kickoff, and it was booming in there. People were just singing, dancing, bouncing up and down. And I said, that to me was like some of the European aways we were on.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see atmospheres like that. And they're talking about the absolute hardcore of Liverpool's fan base traveling away for the Champions League games. And that was absolutely as good as anything I've seen. So yeah, absolutely made up and totally thrilled and honoured to be involved in those things.
Amazing. I mean, I can only think back to LA myself, and it was absolutely incredible then. And Redman TV's grown since then, so I can only imagine what you've gone through. So last question, at Scottish Gooner, interesting. What is the correct method to make tea, milk before or after water?
Why does this come up so often?
People keep answering it wrong,
Paul.
This is
like the fucking pineapple on pizza thing. Like, people get weirdly obsessed over things that are weird. Like, ultimately, who's asked? But realistically, it must take a very precise OCD person, I think, to put the milk in first, because I like to judge. I like to go with the flow on things and add my milk in last. Now, I know that is apparently in etiquette ways wrong,
but it's also we're gonna get into it now. What is it? Why do you like to put the milk in last?
So I can judge how much milk needs to go in my tea, because there's times when I don't leave it brewing for as long. If you know exactly how long you're leaving your tea bag in for, and you know exactly how much milk you're gonna put in and all that, then fine. I'm just not that kind of personality, so I kind of play it all by ear.
I think science proved 11, 12 years ago, something like that, the mm-hmm. milk is supposed to go in first.
Mm-hmm.
But what science can't prove is how people like their tea.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So the reason that you're supposed to put your milk in first and add your tea to your milk is how the fuck do you work this out? It's something to do with the proteins in the milk, right? And you're more likely to get a skin on top of your tea if you put your milk in second rather than first. So it's all to do with how the proteins are. Like, there's loads of different ways you could heat milk up. Like, don't fry it. You know what I mean? You're never going to fry a cup of tea. But I think when you've brewed your tea in a pot, absolutely, go fucking mental. Put your milk in first. But if you're brewing in a cup, for fuck's sakes, don't put the milk in first, because the tea needs to brew in boiling water, and you're cooling the water down by putting cold milk.
That'll do me nicely. So we've got a bunch more questions, haven't we, that we're going to get through?
Tons more questions, mate. We have got some absolute belters about sides from the 90s versus the 2000s. Would you rather win the league and fail in the Champions League group stages every year for 5 years? There's all kinds of stuff. We're going to continue that debate over on the website. I reckon we've got about another 10, 15 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to getting into that. Don't forget to like the video. Subscribe if you haven't already to us on YouTube. Over 280,000 people strong now. It's pretty mental. That's like way over 4 times the capacity at Anfield. We're approaching Iceland's population in subscribers now. I think they're like 330,000.
We should be able to put together a pretty decent footy team, but then if that's the case, like,
over half of Liverpool in numbers subscribe to the Redmen TV. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Isn't it just?
It's crazy. Like the video, subscribe to the Redmen TV on YouTube, and we'll catch you on the subscriber special on the RedmenTV.com. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.